The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord. So, 20 or so years ago, when I was discerning my vocation, I called my parents on the phone. "Mom and Dad, I believe God's calling me to be a priest. I'm going to go into the seminary." First words out of my mother, "You're going to starve." And I said, "Have you seen the priests lately? They don't look like they're starving to me." Then my father got on the phone and said, he wasn't angry, but expressed a little disappointment. "You're my oldest son. I always thought you would carry on my name and give me grandchildren." So there was a little sadness. Over the years, there's been no problem. There's no tension whatsoever. But that first conversation, there was certainly sadness because he wanted me to carry on the family name and the blood, give him grandchildren. That's natural, the desire for the family to increase, the desire, especially in men, to see their name go on and their bloodline, and grandchildren running around, a legacy. That was very important to my father. It's very important to most normal people. And we are living in times where we focus a lot on individualism. Now imagine 2,000 years ago in Israel, the Jewish people. They were all about the family. It was everything. We're talking about, at that point, thousands of years of Hebrew history and culture and custom. It was all about the family. Because remember, in the times when Moses was establishing the law and creating a nation, they didn't know anything about resurrection. Never heard of that. When you died, you died. So how did life keep going? How did your bloodline keep going? You had to have children. It was immensely important. Many times we hear stories in the Old Testament of mothers who are barren. And it's the worst curse in the Old Testament to not have children. It's abysmal. They're always pleading to God, "Please deliver me." Think of Elizabeth, who finally gave birth to John the Baptist in her old age. And so family was so important. It's the fourth commandment. You know the fourth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. There's a second part to that that most people forget. Honor your father and mother so that you will have long life in the land. It was the entire stability of the Israelite people, of the Hebrew people, to be a nation, to be stable and secure with our own law, with our own language, with our own custom, with our covenant with God. And it all starts with a family, and it's our land. You know, today, hopefully we love our families and stay connected to the family, of course, but still it's very, very likely that people move all over the world. You might connect with your family only once a year, at Thanksgiving or Christmas. So it's not as if it's typical that, you know, your mom and dad's right next door. That happens, but it's getting rare and more rare. People move. That didn't happen 2,000 years ago. Nobody left. You know, when the eldest son, for example, got married, they just built an extension onto the house. They were literally in the same complex. And so family was everything. And it's how they kept themselves together and how they were really continuing on life. And now Jesus comes and he says this truly staggering thing. Oh, you want to be my disciple? Well, you have to love me more than your parents. You have to love me more than your children. You have to be willing to leave them. That, to the ears 2,000 years ago, this is crazy. You're talking about completely undoing our social stability, our entire nation, unraveling the very DNA. There was only one reason why people would leave behind their family in the time of Jesus. It was to go study Torah, the law. The law for the Jewish people was not just, you know, this record of rules and regulations, although that was certainly part of it. The law was the way of life, the way you see life, the way you think of yourself, the way you understand God, the way you understand your community. It was the way. And if you really wanted to study Torah, you left behind your family for a little while, went and studied the Torah, and then you came back. And it was the Torah being followers of that and accepting that that made us a great nation. Everybody in the Jewish nation was supposed to be following Torah. And that's what kept us together, along with our bloodline and our families. So when Jesus says, you're not worthy of me if you don't love me more than your family, he's making this statement. I am the Torah. I am the way. It's not a rule book. It's not even the first five books of the what we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. It's me in the flesh, a living person. I'm the Torah. I'm the way. I'm the way to understand yourself. You want to have life? Lose it and find it with me. He's saying, I'm the Torah in the flesh. It's a radical statement. He's basically claiming, I'm God. If you love anything more than me, you're not worthy of studying. And it's not so that he can rip families apart, although that has happened, and it still does to this day. It's so that he can give a family back its true self. How did a Jewish family, and still to this day, how does a Jewish family remain stable in their Jewishness and their covenant with God? Well, they follow the Torah and the customs. So Jesus is saying, you want to stay together as a family? You want to be a nation? It has nothing to do with boundaries in a promised land anymore. It's got nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the ethnic blood that runs through your veins. There's nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the name that comes as your title as of address. What gives you life, what gives you stability, what makes you a people is that you're my disciple and you love me first. I've become the center of your life. I am your way. That's why we heard in that second reading, St. Paul said, you want life? You must be baptized into Christ. That's how the bloodline continues. It's his blood flowing through our veins. That's what makes us a family. That's what makes us a nation. St. Peter would say, you, speaking to all the baptized, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. What makes us a nation now is that we love Jesus first. He's our Torah, our way, our life, our truth, our blood, our breath. And those who leave everything behind and come to him will have it. So last week was Father's Day, and I called my father, and I said, "Happy Father's Day." We had a nice chat. And at the end of it, first time he ever said this, "I've been a priest 11 years. "Okay, Father Mike." I never heard him say that before, Father. First time. I think, after all this time, he's probably come in his heart to realize he needs to be his son first before he's my son. And I'm okay with that, because that's the way of life. That's the Torah. Blessed be his holy name.